Now in our study today of the book of Revelation, we come to a very solemn portion. We're going to study chapter 16. It is quite a lengthy chapter, takes in quite a number of verses, but what we hope to do today is this. We shall take the verses step by step, as we look at the pouring out of the vials of God's wrath. Now, before we read the scriptures, perhaps we should bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we approach thy holy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, conscious of the solemn issues that are revealed in thy holy word, the things we are about to read. Help us, O God, to understand in some measure the solemnity of these eternal issues, so that our hearts may be gripped, that each listener may be stirred today, that will be conscious that thou art God, high above all, that men and women are responsible to thee. May thy blessing be the portion of every listener. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, as we begin to examine what is said to us in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, I want you first of all, if you have your Bible handy, that you will follow me through in the reading of some verses. To begin with, we must look at the source of the vile judgment. Now the fact is, we've got to face this in a realistic manner. We have indicated in previous studies how that people like to think of God as a God of love, and rightly so, for God is love. We like to think of God as a God of light, and that is equally true. He is a God of light. But we should never banish from our minds the thought that God is a righteous God. That is one of his attributes. And while we have been living, as it were, in the day of God's grace, and God has exercised a great amount of patience with the sons of men, and for over 1900 years, God has been acting in grace and in mercy with sinful men and women, calling them by the message of the gospel to accept his offer of salvation. Yet the world is not getting better. Men and women are waxing worse and worse, drifting further and further away, as it were, from the God of glory, spurning his offer of salvation. Now, I remind you of something I have said on different occasions. The Bible teaches this, that when the acceptable year of the Lord comes to an end, then it will usher in the day of vengeance of our God. If men and women will not receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then there will come the day when they will require to face him as judge. We shall either accept God's offer given to us in grace, or we will come under the stroke of God's governmental dealings. I mentioned now in a previous study how we must face the fact that the Bible teaches that there is wrath. And when we come to the book of the Revelation, John the Apostle, writing this that was revealed to him, shows us the finality of God's wrath. That is what is brought before us here in chapter 16. First of all, let me read the closing verse again of chapter 15, for there is a close connection here. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. None was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels should be finished. I pointed out when we were dealing with that verse that here was the smoke-filled temple and man was unable now to approach God. There was a time when God invited men to come. Men could approach God. But when you come to the closing verse of chapter 15, it outlines to us a time when men will be unable to approach God. There will be the smoke-filled temple. Now, that leads us into the opening verse of chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, "Go ye and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth." You will remember, if you were listening the past day, that I indicated that the great voice implies an intelligent apprehension of the subject in question. That voice comes from the sanctuary. This judgment proceeds from God's holiness. Now let us get a grasp of this. I feel it must be understroked and emphasized. Not only is God a God of love, not only is He a God of light, He is a God of holiness, a God of absolute holiness. And while it's good to meditate upon God's greatness and upon God's grace, we must also recognize God's governmental dealings. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, you will discover at the time when God was about to deliver His people Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the king of Egypt of that day, the Pharaoh of Egypt, was not prepared to let them go. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" But God brought the judgments upon Egypt. Plague after plague came upon that nation, until the final night, when the firstborn in every house was slain, where the blood was not applied. So therefore God brought His plagues upon Egypt, until they reached the stage where they were willing to let the people go. And even after they let them go, they pursued after them to try and bring them back. And that was when God stepped in His final act of judgment, and overthrew the Egyptian armies. Remember then that God has certain principles that He puts into operation, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Every plague that was brought upon Egypt at that time was brought against the very idols that they worshipped, or against them for the things they had practiced. You say it was awful for God to send a destroying angel in to destroy the firstborn in the Egyptian homes. But don't forget, it was the Egyptians who destroyed the firstborn and the male children of the Hebrews. And God was only paying them back, as it were, in their own coin. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Now we come now to chapter 16. And here in this particular chapter we see that this voice comes out from heaven. Here is God now acting according to His great power. The great voice out of heaven suggests that the vile judgments are according to the sovereignty and severity of God. The great apostasy of men reaches a state where God is denied and God is challenged, but God then displays His sovereign rights and His power, and because He is holy, He acts in severity as His judgments are poured out upon ungodly men. Now we've got to face this, that the day of His wrath will come. And what John is outlining to us here is the prophetic vision concerning what will come upon this earth when God acts in his governmental judgment. Now verse 2. And the first went, that is the first angel, went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a noisome and grievous sore upon the men that had the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. Now notice then upon whom this first bowl of his wrath is poured. It's poured upon certain people. And the reason it's poured upon them is because they were the people who had received the mark of the beast. Now watch this. It brings to them a noisome and grievous sore, something that's painful, something that's bad. And it's upon them who had received the mark of the beast. Now notice, two things these people had been guilty of. First of all, they allowed their bodies to be marked. They were marked by a sign. It was called the mark of the beast. They were prepared to allow that mark to be branded in some way or another upon their bodies. The body that ought to have been given in service for God was marked out as belonging to the beast. They gave themselves to the beast. And you will remember that the beast received his power from the dragon. Here were people then who were prepared to worship the image of the beast. So in worshipping the image of the beast, they were also worshipping the beast, and they were worshipping the dragon who gave his power to the beast. See then, these people were guilty of idolatry in an extreme case, giving their bodies to be marked by the mark of the beast. So that not only were they worshipping in an idolatrous fashion, they were displaying it on their bodies. Do you realize in certain countries today, there are people who bear little marks on their foreheads? And if you could read and understand these marks, you'll be able to distinguish them and know what particular god or idol they worshipped. So there's nothing new in this, and men are going to do it. They're going to have their bodies branded with the mark of the beast. And because of that, the first bowl is poured out, God's wrath comes upon them. And God says, if that's what you want, then you can have it. And here's the result of it. Something happens to their very bodies, and they have this grievous sore that comes upon them. But now there's the pouring out of the second vial of his wrath. Verse 3. And the second poured out his bowl and into the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living soul died, even the things that were in the sea. Now, you can take this literally if you like, and I think it will be literal, but it would also have a meaning. You know, in the scriptures, the sea is always indicative of the mass of restless nations. And so here is a judgment that will come upon them. Now, if it comes literally upon the sea, and I'm quite sure in my own thinking it will be that, because, again, if you go back to the book of Exodus, God was able to pour forth his judgment upon the river, and the river turned into blood. And the God who could turn the river into blood can turn the sea into blood into which the river runs, for God is not limited in his power. So the second poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. Now, the blood of a dead man is something that is corrupt, and so here is corruption. And every living soul died, it brought death, even the things that were in the sea. The result of this judgment not only will be literally upon the sea, but if you take its meaning, it brings spiritual death. The sea becomes lifeless. And if the sea is indicative, as I have said, of the mass of restless nations that brought into a state where they will be insensitive to the spiritual demands of a holy and righteous God. You know, there's a strange thing said in the Word of God concerning Christians. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, tells them it was while they were dead in trespasses and in sins that they were quickened. But then they could not be quickened apart from the operation of the Holy Spirit. And if at this time when this bowl is poured out, if there's no operation of the Holy Spirit, then these men living in the world at that time will be spiritually dead and insensitive not only to their need, but insensitive to the claims of a holy God, dead while they live. Now look at verse 4 and you'll discover the pouring out of the third bowl of God's wrath. And the third poured out his bowl into the rivers, and the fountains of the waters, and it became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, Righteous art thou who art and who wast, thou Holy One, because thou didst thus judge, for they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and blood hast thou given them to drink, they are worthy. And I heard the altar saying, Yea, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Now notice, in the pouring out then of the third bowl, its rivers. A river, you know, is the source of prosperity. Have you ever taken time to notice this, that some of the great cities of the world are associated with great rivers? It seems to be that men, in developing their civil life, in developing their commercial life, in building their cities, they built them on great rivers. No matter where you go in the world, you'll find great rivers and great cities brought into relationship one with the other. Because it seems that rivers were essential things. The fountains also of waters. Here, rivers then, the sources of the world's prosperity, and the judgment of the third bowl is poured out upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Now, the result of this judgment is that the rivers and fountains lose their power to sustain and satisfy life. What would this world be like without our rivers and without our fountains of water? You say, then why should God pour out his judgment upon these things? It was God who first gave us our pure rivers. It was God who gave us our fountains of water. Well, why should God pour forth now his wrath and judgment upon these very things? And here is the answer to that. Righteous art thou. Why? For these people, upon whom God's judgment is poured out under the third bowl, they were the people who poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and blood hast thou given them to drink. They are worthy. Again, I take you back to Egypt and the plagues that came upon that great nation when God was about to deliver his people. He delivered them from Egypt and he turned the waters into blood because the Egyptians were guilty of shedding the blood of God's innocent people, and it turned back on them. And the same thing will be true in a coming day. The very people who slaughtered God's witnesses, they themselves will have to drink blood or die. And he says, God is righteous and God is true. There's the pouring forth of the fourth bowl. Verse 8, and the fourth poured out his bowl upon the sun that was given unto it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who hath the power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The sun, you will remember, is the supreme governing power to rule the day. And now the sun would be ruling over mankind, but the fourth bowl comes out upon the sun. That is, the governing authorities on the earth will have to suffer now. And if God is going to touch the sun, for God is the creator of the sun, men are going to be scorched with great heat. is going to cause them not to repent. This is the interesting thing here. Because of what is happening, you would think that men would repent and turn to God and acknowledge the sin, but no. They repented not. They didn't give God the glory. Rather, they blasphemed God. They're against God, and that leads to the pouring out of the fifth bowl. And the fifth poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was darkened, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and again they blasphemed the God of heaven. Now the throne of the beast is the center of the kingdom established by the devil. Here is darkness, both moral and spiritual, as the result of willfully rejecting the truth of God. And God just pours out his wrath upon the very throne of the beast, the one who has deceived the nations, and the one who is causing them to bow down to the idol. Now God says it's time for wrath to come out against him. Then that leads to the pouring out of the sixth vial of his wrath. Verse 12. And the sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river, the river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way might be made ready for the kings that come from the sun rising. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were frogs. For they are spirits of demons working signs which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto war of the great day of God the Almighty. Now notice very carefully here what happens. Under the sixth vial, this judgment appears somewhat peculiar in that it falls upon a great river and the river is dried up. However, it is done in order to open the way for the advancement of great armies from the east. And if these great armies come from the east, they're coming to the Middle East. And that is where the great battle will be set up. The final battle of men. And they're coming from the east. And they'll come from the north and the south and from the west, ready to meet in a final clash. And God now pours out his judgment upon the river and opens up the way for these armies to proceed and come over. I should mention this, that in verses 13 and 14, we have the purpose for the vile judgments. The evil trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet work together in the promotion of demonology in order to persuade men and the rulers of the earth to join in battle against the people of God in Palestine. Verse 15 looks like a pause in the which the Lord gives a final warning to those who are his own, so that they will be looking for his returning and will not be caught unprepared. Now at verse 16 to verse 21, we have now the final thing and the pouring out of the seventh vial, which is a solemn issue indeed. Verse 16 says, and they gathered them together into the place which is called in the Hebrew Armageddon. And the seventh poured out his bowl upon the air. There came forth a great voice out of the temple from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since there were men upon the earth. So great an earthquake, so mighty. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the great was remembered in the sight of God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail, every stone about the weight of a talent, cometh down out of heaven upon men, and men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof is exceeding great. Here is the consummation of the wrath of God. It is the finality of judgment upon the earth with her inhabitants. It will mark the destruction of every political and religious and educational institution that man has built apart from God. It will be the collapse of all man's boasted progress. with his great hopes and dreams of a great society and world utopia, it ends in complete failure with the wrath of God coming down upon it. My friend, these are solemn things that face this world because this world has turned away from God, the mighty Creator, and rejected his great work of redemption.